The long winter has somewhat abated, and the nice spring weather has come. It's the Thack Daddy experience with Thack Daddy, down with the DVR podcast crew. I'm going to talk about stuff, because that's what I do. I just don't know exactly what, so you're going to have to bear with me. So, I saw the Avengers Infinity War movie. I enjoyed it. Not gonna inundate anyone who hasn't observed it personally with spoilers. Suffice it to say that it was coherent, cogent, well-paced, well-acted, great special effects, and it created a nice overarching feel and dynamic between the principal characters to give you the actual sense that they inhabit the same universe, so to speak, and the differing personalities engaging each other was refreshing, entertaining, humorous, and interesting. Of course, at least generally, I think the audience globally is aware that Thanos is the obvious villain, and that he also represents a conflicting genocidal figure, so to speak, because he isn't reticent to utilize the Infinity Stones to end many existences to whatever end his perceptual grid dictates. So, on that note, the film definitely brings up a lot of different topics and ideas and notions of who and what a thing is, who or what a thing can be, and who or what a thing chooses to be based on its perceptual matrix. So it's somewhat fascinating to see the varying personalities and what their objectives are in terms of trying to protect and guard what they love or what they believe they love, and how all of that comes together. So, don't really know how much more I can say about that because it'd be like spoiler ridden, but I was pleasantly surprised that Marvel would take on and actually complete such a interesting project. I'd probably venture to say it's along the lines of what you may call darker themed material, such as DC's Dark Knight, which I still personally feel is like one of the greatest, if not the greatest, comic book character movie of all time. But in terms of character development and engagement, I'd say this is currently Marvel's Dark Knight. It's definitely very good, and it's definitely thought-provoking and interesting. I don't know if it's on the same even scale, but as far as a Marvel production goes, because the majority of the Marvel productions have overall been superior, again, my opinion, to the DC ones. But again, The Dark Knight is like the apex as far as I'm concerned, and Infinity War definitely reaches that level. So, moving on. I definitely enjoy this band called Jonathan Bree and this song they have called You're So Cool. The overall sound, it's hard to pinpoint. Suffice it to say that it has that kind of jazzy Poetry Cafe swag that bands like Morphine had in the 90s. And that's something I sort of miss. I personally enjoyed Morphine as a band, so when I heard this, I really enjoyed the vibe from this band, so I'm currently into them. I was watching a show on Netflix. Now, it's not a definitive anime. It's actually an interesting project that's a Netflix original called Agretsuko, and it's about this Sanrio character, Retsuko, who works in an accounting office for this corporation, and she's not the biggest fan of it. She is somewhat of a repressed character who takes on and deals with a lot of people's bullshit, and her inner self reacts to it to the point where she goes to a karaoke bar by herself and does death metal karaoke. And it's actually insanely hilarious. And anyone who's had that work grind boot put on their neck will know what I'm talking about. But one of the interesting things that happens in the show is, I'm quoting the translation of something Retsuko said, is, "Life doesn't always go the way you expect. It's a series of disappointments and misunderstandings, but we must work through our discontent and move forward. When we keep moving, we become a little stronger every single day." And I just, that statement resonated with me as a viewer, because you don't really take a kind of survey of how much shit you've endured in this life. And I'm not talking about worrying about the politics of the nation or anything, just day-to-day politics, waking up for work when you have absolutely no desire to go to a particular job, or dealing with people who are incapable of listening and who are ensconced in their old ways and then want to perpetuate or project those ways onto you, and you see that they're not really accomplishing or doing much, and they want to put the weight of their labors upon you. Or just trying to get through a drive-thru at a McDonald's and hoping and praying that your order isn't fucked up because you have relatives in the car, be they your own children, your cousin's kids, or your brother's kids, or anyone, or God forbid it's one of those huge, I'm picking up food for everyone, and everyone has a peculiar taste, and, you know, like your one vegetarian cousin just wants cheese, like a basically like a cheeseburger without the burger, and someone else wants, you know, no pickles, and someone else no onions, and, you know, and it's just interesting kind of slice of life, because you see the struggles, and even though the characters are anthropomorphically not human, because they're all different types of animals, it's interesting to see the dynamic and the frustration and the interactions and the projections and the assumptions that characters make about who the other character is, and how those assumptions and misunderstandings lead to you making decisions based on erroneous conclusions, and from those erroneous conclusions you end up doing things that just are nonsensical in a broader context because you lacked information and you kind of just completely went off kilter from your own perceptual matrix to the point where your behavior really is just invalid and nonsense. So it's funny, but it's really funny when she goes into the death metal karaoke zone, because if you don't know who Sanrio is, it's the company that did Batsmaru, Karopi, and the ever legendary Hello Kitty. So to see that company have a character in Retsuko who's on this Netflix show just being like all death metal, like, you know, You need to shut up. Like, it's just, it's funny. And it's funny in a far more conventional and slightly twisted way than Happy Tree Friends, which a lot of people thought something was off kilter about me, because I absolutely loved Happy Tree Friends, because I just thought it was hilarious. Because it was clearly exaggerated hyperbole, and, you know, to see these cute characters massacre each other was funny to me. So it's not that extreme, but it's still, it has that element to it. It's almost like the cute animal version of this show called Detroit Metal City, which a lot of people probably didn't see. I'm not sure if it was on Hulu or not, but Detroit Metal City was about this young alternative singer who his alternative bands never got off the ground, so he ended up in a death metal band, which had a hit song called Satsuga, and he did a lot of weird stuff as this character, and it was hilarious because he was like a super nice guy, but he had this dark side that he was always in perpetual conflict with, and he wanted to reject, and he didn't want to deal with, and then it would just, he would bottle it up to the point where when it did come out, it was just completely reckless. And I see a lot of that in a lot of stories where when you repress your sentiments, you create great problems for yourself. Repression tends to transform itself. You can't really hide that skeleton in the closet, because it'll come to life as some kind of zombie demon and wreak its havoc in some other aspect of your life at an inopportune moment, because you did not address those feelings or emotions in your head, and you gave them a life of their own to the point where they interjected or interceded on their behalf, not yours, because you didn't give them any attention and respect. You tried to negate and suppress them and pretend they were non-existent, and then they emerged victorious to wreak havoc on your life. So, the show's hilarious. I'm not going to really drop any spoilers on this one either, because both of the things I spoke about came out this year, or within the proximity of this year. So, yeah. That show's pretty fucking funny. I did watch some of the show Big Mouth also on Netflix, and that's actually really funny. And I'm not going to put out spoilers, but I got to say, this one particular episode where this kid has amorous relations with his pillow, which is represented as being alive, super weird. Like, it was hilarious. And I mean, we've had South Park and The Simpsons and Beavis and Butthead and all that, but this, you know, and Family Guy, of course, and American Dad. So yes, we've seen some over-the-top material. You know, I know the prom night dumpster baby from Family Guy was like, yo, that's kind of over-the-top, but this kid with the pillow thing was a little out of hand. But, I mean, it's a funny show. But the pillow thing was like, what? Like, that's really all I could say. Like, my reaction to watching it was, what? Like, I don't have anything better. So, and I do find myself, you know, branching out into occasionally different viewing of, like, things I normally would never watch, just because at a certain point in time you have to go out of your own prescription of, this is what I watch too. I'm just going to watch stuff so I could veg down. A lot of times I get caught up in something or some things that have to have a metaphysical twist, and sometimes you really don't need a metaphysical twist. You just need something not authentic per se to most people, but just something that's a little more reachable or a little more down to earth or even just a little more not your speed. So I did watch this film, and I have no idea how old it is or what have you. It's called The Switch. It had Jason Bateman in it with Jennifer Aniston and Jeff Goldblum, but it was actually a funny movie about a guy who a lot of people consider to be abrasive or negative. He's a pretty intelligent guy, asks way too many questions, and shoots things down with, I guess, somewhat of a pessimistic bent to his perceptual matrix, and it's not very popular with everyone. And you know, he's one of these characters who's in love with his best friend, and things really don't go right for a very long time, and they escalate when she decides to get artificially inseminated because her biological clock is ticking and she wants to have children. I actually enjoyed the movie. I mean, even though the highlight of the movie for me was Jeff Goldblum, I guess that kicked off from his performance as a Grandmaster in Thor Ragnarok. And, you know, I revisited some of his stuff, like the Earth Girls Are Easy, which is a really strange movie with Jeff Goldblum, Jim Carrey, and Damon Wayans, which was actually kind of funny. But anyway, I diverge. The movie is interesting because one of the lines in it was, you know, why do we call it the human race? And it's because we're always rushing and we're always late. And we don't have time to just catch up to life itself. And, you know, his penultimate conclusion after whatever and everything, excuse me, that he endured was that it isn't really a race, it's just an experience, and you have no idea where that experience will lead. You always just assume. And it was just interesting. I mean, I like little simple play on words like the human race and how we're always rushing and late. Because, you know, I've had that experience where you work all day, you come home, and then you prepare food, and then you go out, and then you get food, and then you go out, and you do all this stuff. And then you sit down, put on a TV, and you don't even know what the hell you're watching because you're just tired. And you don't give rest to your body, and then you don't give rest to your spirit, and then you don't invigorate it. And then you wonder why you feel like a zombie. And most of your interactions just fall into the lame shit factor. But anyway, that's pretty much all I got going. Oh, there is one last thing. So I happen to come across this, like, Elton John reimagined music thing, and it was weird, but I'm gonna just say this about it. I'm not gonna really go into all this crazy detail, but I love the Sam Smith cover of Daniel. I was really shocked and quasi stupefied to hear Q-Tip singing with Demi Lovato a cover of Don't Go Breaking My Heart, but he was singing. And I was like, what? But it was actually really good. I love Florence and the Machine's cover of Tiny Dancer, but the best cover of an Elton John song that I've heard from this thing has to be, hands down, Queens of the Stone Age covering Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. I was like, what? Like, it sounds cool as hell. So that's all I really got. I have been watching some playoff basketball. But suffice it to say, in the Eastern Conference, I don't know. I mean, the way the chips are falling right now, it's going to look like a Boston-Cleveland deal. And Boston's heavily undermanned. I mean, if you're going to win a series by heart, I would already give that series to Boston. But I don't know if heart is going to be enough for them to take down Cleveland's king. So we'll see what happens. I was under the erroneous impersonation that Toronto would actually show up to their own playoff series so that people would stop saying they suck. But after two games, it looks like they might not be showing up. So, that's all I really got to say about that. I'm not going to really talk about the West except to say that Donovan Mitchell is my vote for Rookie of the Year. And, wow, look at that. Utah won the second game because he facilitated. So, on the meaningless spectrum of mindless sports that I imbibe upon after bludgeoning my psyche with my workload, that's all I got for that. So, Queens of the Stone Age, man. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. Totally crazy. Anyway, it's the Thack Daddy. Having Thack Daddy experiences, which God only knows what that means. Oh, and I might go see this horror movie called Hereditary because the little girl looks scary as shit. But I don't know if I'm going to go because that little girl looks scary as shit. So if I can't find someone to go with me and hold my hand because I'll be scared as shit of that creepy little girl, I'm probably going to skip it because it does look scary as fuck. But I don't know. Seems like horror movies really like that are really scary tend to go with like little girls or young girls, which I find is creepy in and of itself. But I feel like that paradigm was set by the almighty and amazing director Stanley Kubrick putting those two scary ass British girls in The Shining. Because, man, those chicks are frightening. Anyway, Thack Daddy is out. Be back at some point, semi-regularly, when there's stuff that I can actually talk about. Because, I don't know, the weather's so nice that I'm really just being all, like, Henry David Thoreau out here and shit and just enjoying nature. Anyway, take care. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your time. Keep doing your thing and enjoy the weather. Peace.